শিবাসাদি গৌর ভক্তবৃন্দ কি শ্রী শ্রী রাধা কৃষ্ণ গৌর গোপীনাথ শ্যামকুণ্ড রাধা কুণ্ড গিরি গোবর্ধন কি বৃন্দাবন মতর ধাম কি জয় মায়াপুর নবদ্বীপ ধাম কি জয় জগন্নাথপুরী ধাম কি আলাচনী রমণীতি ধাম কি গঙ্গা মাইয়া যমুনা মাইয়া কি ভক্তি দেবী কি তুলসী মহারানী কি শিলপ্রভুপাদ গুরু পূজা কি শ্রীমদ ভাগবতম ক্লাস কি জয় শ্রী শ্রী রাধা শ্যাম সুন্দর কৃষ্ণ বলরাম গৌনিতায় দর্শনার্থী কি নিতায় গৌর প্রমানন্দে হরি হরি অল গ্লোরিয়াস টু দি অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিস হরে কৃষ্ণ অল গ্লোরিয়াস টু দি অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিস হরে কৃষ্ণ অল গ্লোরিয়াস টু দি অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিস হরে কৃষ্ণ অল গ্লোরিয়াস টু শ্রী শ্রী গুরু অ্যান্ড গৌর অ্যান্ড গৌর नमो विष्णुदाय I forgot the verse is 33 or 34. We did this yesterday? Okay, so we can go to the next one. What number is that? 34. Hare Krishna. So we are serving Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 12, entitled, translated by Srila Prabhupada, as a birth of Emperor Parikshit. And today we are serving text 34. So before we begin, we evoke the mercy of Lord Vasudev, who is the predominating deity of consciousness, so that our consciousness become purified or spiritualized, so we can have an access of the spiritual domain in the mercy of Guru Gauranga by reciting this mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrittam naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam mudirayat nasta prayasa bhadresu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naishakim. So we are going to recite the synonyms first. This is chapter 12, entitled Birth of Emperor Parikshit. And this section is about the glorification of Maharaj Parikshit. Also is the answer of the question of sage Shaunaka, who were expressing their interest to know about the prediction, future prediction at the moment of birth of King Parikshit, that Sukhdev Goswami spent entire discussion. This is the first time Sukhdev Goswami spoke Bhagavatam to King Parikshit, where even the demigod, others were trying to stop, but some or other Sukhdev Goswami had an affection for Parikshit Maharaj, and it deprived everybody else. If they were challenging, they have to come as a humble listener. So there were those who are, but those who put some obstacles, they have been put aside. So then Shaunaka, they were very curious to know, who is this Parikshit Maharaj? Can you please elaborate us? So this is this chapter explaining. So we're going to recite today's verse, text 34. Teno means with that wealth, Samvrita collected, Sambhara ingredients, Dharmaputra the pious king, Yudhishthir Vaji Medhai by horse sacrifice, Rivi three times, Bhita being greatly afraid after the battle of Kurukshetra, Jagne sacrifice, Sama Jat perfectly worship, Harim the personality of God. Tena Samvrita Sambhara. धर्मा पुत्र युधिष्ठिर बाजी मेदेस्त्रिभिर्वीत जग्ने समजजाद्धरिम् तेन संवृत संवार धर्मपुत्र युधिष्ठिर वाजी मेदेस्त्रिभिर्वीत जग्ने संजजाद्धरिम् तेन संवृत संभार धर्मपुत्र युधिष्ठिर वाजी मेदेस्त्रिभिर्वीत जग्ने संजयात् जयात् धरिम् तेन संवृत संभार धर्मपुत्र युधिष्ठिर तेन संवृत संभार Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: by those riches, the king could procure the ingredients for 3 horse sacrifices. Who is the king here? Thank you. Thus, the pious king Yudhishthir, who was very fearful after the battle of Kurukshetra, pleased Lord Hari, the personality of Godhead. Purpose: Maharaj Yudhishthir was the ideal and celebrated pious king of the world. Still, he was greatly afraid after the execution of the battle of Kurukshetra because of the mass killing in the fight, all of which was done only to install him on the throne. He therefore took all the responsibility for sin committed in the warfare. And to get rid of all these sins, he wanted to perform 3 sacrifices in which horses are offered at the altar. Who arranged Rajasya Jagna? Anyone knows? One of the biggest sacrifices in the world was arranged by Yudhishthir Maharaj. Now in this purport says why was he not interested to be the king? Why people want to be leader or king? I'm not talking about in ISKCON, in general. In ISKCON generally there's the one rule, they want to please Prabhupada, whatever is required. So that's different. Where you draw your happiness from, to sustain life, you need happiness. It is natural. Prabhupada says in his purport, jiva sukhannesi, pleasure seeking by nature. Any philosophy goes against that, should not look for happiness, is against soul's eternal dharma. It is a natural to look for happiness, or existence should be feeling loved and offering love. So that's normal. So why Yudhishthira Maharaj? Because he was drawing happiness from the service of Krishna. He was not interested for the kingdom. So here, very nicely explained, he therefore took all the responsibility for sin committed in the warfare. To get rid of all these sins, he wanted to perform three sacrifices in which horses are offered at the altar. Well, first of all, if there is sin actually in the war, where this battlefield took place, where this battle took place? Dharmakshetra. A place where Yudhishthira Maharaj knew, Lord Krishna knew, Duryodhana knew, Bhishma Dev knew, Dronacharya knew, everybody knew the glory of that field. And that the field has a special blessing from the gods, Indra, to Maharaj Kuru, that anyone who does austerity in that field, while doing austerity, right now you all are doing austerity, you're taking your time to give an oral reception, this is called austerity. Voluntarily you choose to do something for the welfare of yourself and for the world. So that's austerity or sacrifice. So Maharaj Kuru, when he succeeded of that jagna, then he got two blessings, that whoever dies while fighting in that place will go to higher planet. So was it a sin? No. But Yudhishthira Maharaj, because he feels for his sake that this whole thing took place, so this is the nature of a devotee, that he takes the blame himself. And this is a very attractive quality. If we all are become responsible instead of challenging or opposing when something comes on our way, they need to be examined inside. I don't mean like abuse. Like somebody said something bad to me, like can I examine within myself? Maybe I need to be corrected. This is nice. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, he's expressing how to be responsible for whatever comes in our path. Whether it's good or bad, we should be always responsible. And sign of a responsibility means they regret. Acknowledging something that I deserve, even though it's a worse thing, it's not a pleasant, but it is very heavy. And that time, in order to rectify, somebody has to be completely aware, fully knowledgeable, and accept that is due to my sinful nature, these things happening right now. And he regrets and he repents, and Srila Prabhupada said that time it opens the door of liberation. Means that soul is literally liberated. Then rectification idea will genuinely take birth in the heart. So this is, of course, Yudhishthira Maharaj, in Yudhishthira Maharaj's case is not, but Bhagavatam is also for us. How the pure devotee, they express, exhibit their great quality that draws the attention of the Supreme Lord. Then Prabhupada says, even Maharaj Yudhishthir had to collect the necessary heaps of gold left by Maharaj Marutta and the Brahmanas who were given gold in charity by King Marutta. King Marutta is very famous. To sustain in bhakti, in Krishna consciousness, I mean, we sometimes express our sincerity more when there is a tribulation, you know, something, COVID-19 or some sickness or something happening in our life, we become very serious, taking the japa mala very close to heart and really paying attention to chant. When there's a good time, maybe not exactly like that way. Like Prabhupada gives a very nice poetic verse. Sukha samay hari bhaje, sukkahan roi. Or dukkha samay hari bhaje, dukkahan hoi. If you are chanting Hare Krishna, this is my way of translating that verse. If you are chanting Hare Krishna during suffering, then suffering goes away. But if you're chanting Hare Krishna during happiness, then where is the chance of suffering to come? Never comes. It's very nice the way Prabhupada expressed that. So, Marut displayed a very wonderful thing for our life. King Marut, pastimes is in Mahabharata. I remember many years back, I forgot. He was one of the king that who exactly exhibited that devotional service sustained on determination. Not by tribulation or mental emotion, so-called satisfaction, no. It's sustained by determination. What do you mean determination? Determination means there is a commitment and there is a constant, uninterrupted endeavor to please the Lord. Marut was doing a big sacrifice. I'll give you one example. He has a big life also. One example that he was doing a big ceremony of Jagna. And those days, the representative of God comes in the form of demigod. They represent the god. There's a 6 questions, I hope everybody knows. You know, chapter 8, Bhagavad Gita, only deals with the 6 questions. It says, before you die, make sure you have completed understanding of all those 6 questions. It's a prerequisite. So that you will come to a state of consciousness where you can actually evoke Krishna in order to go to Krishna planet. I thought it was very interesting the way our Acharya gives that. First 3 verses are those questions. What is Brahman? You must know. What is Adhatma, or self, who you are? What is karma? Means the activities separated from God. And what is Adi Bhuta? What is this material nature? Adi Bhuta, Adi Daiva. The ruler of different action of this universe, like demigods and other. And Adi Jagna. Who is the enjoyer of your everything that you do in life? You are working hard for who? This is the question. Who is the enjoyer or who is the beneficiary of all your whole life? If you answer all these 6 questions very well, then you can prepare to die and go back to Golok Vrindavan. That chapter, entire chapter is nothing but when we do Bhagavad Gita, we have a theme. So 8 chapter Bhagavad Gita is nothing but the answer of those 6 questions. So Marut, back to this Marut, he was a good example of that. They are doing a big ceremony. The demigod came, and the havan is going, and it's filled the entire Jagna stall, or the place where the fire sacrifice was taking place. It's filled with the gold, gold, gold. Everything is gold plates, gold havan pit, gold spoon, gold this, gold gift. Everybody getting thousands of gold coins. Now you may think, like, is this fire sacrifice also in spiritual world? Yes. The sacrifice, Jagna, is also in spiritual world. It's not only in Alachua. We are very fortunate Mother Nukya pays very good attention on the fire sacrifice. She really sits there every time. But in the spiritual world, they also have it. So there, when King Marut was doing this ceremony, guess who came by? Ravana. He just thought. There's a two story, but one story is Ravana just thought. Just by seeing the Ravana, those days, Ravana was in his high peak. The moment demigod saw, can you imagine? You are trying to please the demigod in the Jagna, and they took the form of an animal out of fear of Ravana. Now what would you do? If you are the main host who is performing the Jagna, and you are making all this ceremony to offer it to the demigod, and demigod, the person supposed to be giving you the benediction and protection, they are out of fear of Ravana, became the animal form. What would you do? I asked myself, you know, I probably would get scared and go away or something. So, but this Marutta, Prabhupada gave it, very nice Prabhupada, the way Prabhupada put it in the English, that Marutta is a good, a great determination on sacrifice. I mean, there are great personalities, but Marutta was one of the greatest examples. He got up and he took his sword. He said, "Who are you?" He said, "Oh, you don't know me?" You know, it's like a bully fight or something. "I am the half-brother of Kuberas, the treasurer of heaven. I put them all down, defeated everybody." And King Marutta saw that. All the demigods also became the animal face. So they are like, he was concerned that why the demigod who is supposed to give the benediction and see that we do very well sacrifice, instead they are afraid and took the form of animals so that they don't get caught. This is not a good way of representing God. I'm not criticizing the demigod, I hope they are not angry with me, but I'm just saying this is not proper. If I am serving under a leader, I don't want leader to run away. I want him to help, he or she, whoever the leader is, to help while I'm serving, to go further. Anyway, but Ravana was such a rogue, deadly personification that people would run away. So that time in the challenge, the priest came in between Ravana and King Marut discussion. He said, "Excuse me, sir, your honor, king, you should not leave. When you start a big sacrifice, we are halfway, you should not leave. And you should not get angry, just take down your sword and everything, just do it. After the Jagna is over, you can do whatever you need to do." And he listened, the Brahmanas, because that Brahmana is also kind of like a guru, Shiksha guru. So he came and put it aside. Now, Ravana knew that if somebody is doing devotional service or Jagna, this is a very nice, interesting point, that if you intervene, then responsibility goes to the God and he will automatically protect you. It's already built in. You don't need to endeavor separately. Just like Ambarish Maharaj, he's doing Ekadashi, he doesn't have to endeavor separately while doing Ekadashi from protection from Durvasa or anybody. That's why the whole episode took place, that Durvasa automatically defeated. Similarly, Marut knew that, so he sat down, and Ravana was scared because he didn't want to disturb him to take him away. But Ravana was so powerful, he actually devoured some of the rishis over there. He scared, literally, and then left. But he knew that if he disturbed the king who is actually doing the jagna, then he will get the reaction, so he didn't want to get the reaction. He knew that there will be such a deadly danger for him, so he left. This way, King Marutta, and then of course after Ravana left, then the demigod came back to their own original form as a Indra. And they sat down and they gave the blessing. So King Marutta has exhibited that we need determination. Now question came that how did he get the determination? We all want determination in our spiritual path. Prabhupada, success comes from determination. Yes, but the determination, Prabhupada's success comes from his inner connection. In his Jaladuta poem, he writes, Vedanai, Bhaktinai, Name Bara Dhara, Bhakti Vedanta Nam Eve Sartakara. One of the verse, line, Prabhupada writes, I don't have good knowledge or bhakti, but I have a strong faith on the holy name. I'm holding it. And if you feel it fits, then my name, Bhakti Vedanta, you can make it success. It's very wonderful. So this we can learn through Prabhupada. So we have to have a strong faith on the chanting holy name, and this is the biggest jagna. And so King Marut, King Parikshit is a good example of King Marut, because King Marut has exhibited the inner connection, gives this determination that no opposition will win. In Kali Yuga, of course, you don't have to invite for a bad luck, it comes automatically. So many problems. Just like Madan Mukherjee, there is accident here, there, always something. So this is a very good example of Marut. Then Prabhupada, let's read the purport. Even Maharaj Yudhishthir had to collect necessary heaps of gold left by Maharaj Marut and the Brahmanas who were given gold in charity by King Marut. The learned Brahmanas could not take away all the loads of gold given by Maharaj Marut, and therefore they left behind the major portion of the gift. And Maharaj Marut also did not again collect such heaps of gold given away in charity. This is also another thing. The devotee should develop a habit of giving charity. You give charity like you offer flower or give some donation, or give your transcendental knowledge, always should give. Because the mentality behind the giving charity is the most important, and the mentality Krishna actually watches. The day Krishna appeared, he appeared midnight, and next day morning, Nanda Maharaj, this is eternally happening in spiritual world also. Nanda Maharaj immediately is thinking, I need to give some charity in order to bring good luck. Of course, you may say, this doesn't make any sense. The Supreme Lord himself is the Subhada, all auspicious. His presence, and there, Nanda Maharaj has a bhakti, is the ultimate auspicious. What more auspiciousness is needed for them? Well, that's not the point. Point is nourishing our heart through service. And giving charity, it becomes the biomedia to, of course, when it comes to the material world, the people want to be benefited. Like Prabhupada gave charity, the transcendental knowledge, Krishna consciousness, bhakti he gave. That is the biggest charity. But in spiritual world, is the biomedia to express the love between the beloved and lover. Krishna also gives on his birthday, every day. I mean, every birthday Krishna gives charity. every birthday. One time, of course, he found Radha, when Radharani was 3 years old. That's a funny story, I remember now. I mean, Krishna reminded that on his Krishna's birthday, you know, in India, what they do, they have a durva grass and paddy. You grow up like this. You know, they give a blessing on the head of the person with the durva grass and paddy. In Bengal, they do, till today. When you give blessing, you know, durva grass, I mean, grass, one type of grass called durva. It's like a very fine grass. And you take a paddy, and whoever you want to bless, you put it on their head, and you wish a good thing. So they were giving so much blessing to Krishna, and Krishna is supposed to give them blessing. Gift. So the way Nanda Maharaj, it started from the moment Krishna took birth. Now in Vrindavan, there was no beggar. So in order to give charity, you have to have also recipient, qualified recipient. Now if there is no beggar in Vrindavan, how Nanda Maharaj is going to give? Of course, Nanda Maharaj is not thinking like this. He's just thinking that my son just born, such a great news. I want to please. And even if there is an enmity, some feeling in the heart of someone, when they get so much gift, gold, especially gold, gold was like biomedia for whatever you need. So even the enemy will become pacified. So it's, tradition has a very nice impact and effect to anybody and everybody, whether friend or enemy. So Nanda Maharaj, in the morning, he asked the treasurer. He has two main treasurer who communicate between Nanda Baba Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, whatever they need every day. So he called them, and then immediately Nanda Maharaj says, bring gold coins. So Jogomaya went to the demigods. Hey, the Supreme Personality of God had appeared last night. So yes, he is in Nanda Maharaj on the earthly planet in India, this place called Vrindavan. You all want blessing? They say, yes. Okay, become a beggar. So all these millions of demigods, they from Nanda Maharaj's house to Jamuna, if you've been there, you probably will know. It's a few miles. And it's filled with beggars. And they are beggar also, like they really dress very well. I mean, like a crooked, really neat, cannot survive without coin or without your gift. And all these demigods filled up. Nanda Maharaj is not even thinking, oh, my village has so many beggars, I never knew. He's not putting a logic. This thing only logic because I don't have a feeling for the Lord. But he has so much feeling for his son, he's thinking, oh, this is good. So many beggars, wow, I'm so happy. How much gift he gave? Sanatana Goswami Pad writes in Dasami Tippani that the millions of gold coin he gave. Where did this gold coin come? Do you anybody ever make gold coin in Vrindavan? He said, no, it's not recorded anything like that. But when you need something, it is all there. Because even in one speck of Vrindavan dust has more wealth than entire Vaikuntha wealth. But it is covered because sweetness predominates. Sweetness predominates the Vrindavan. So this way, Nanda Maharaj, every year on Krishna's birthday, Janmashtami, he would give big, big amount of gift. It says the amount of gift he would give to the Brahmanas, the Brahmana could not carry, so he had to give the bullock cart to carry all those gold back. So this is this tradition, what we are reading here today, it is a very beautiful, eternal tradition in spiritual world also. I'm not supposed to read the whole purport, right? I'm supposed to read the halfway or something. Tomorrow I think they're doing half. So I don't know where the half is, but... Okay, let's finish the paragraph. Thank you. And Maharaj Marutta also did not again collect such heaps of gold given away in charity. Besides that, all the golden plates, utensils, which were used in the sacrifice were also thrown in the dustbins. And all such heaps of gold remained unclaimed property for a long time, till Maharaj Yudhishthira collected them for his own purposes. Lord Sri Krishna advises the brothers of Maharaj Yudhishthira to collect the unclaimed property because it belongs to the king. The more astonishing thing is that no subject of the state also collected such unclaimed gold for industrial enterprise or anything like that. This means that the state citizens were completely satisfied with all necessity of life, therefore not inclined to accept unnecessary productive enterprise for sense gratification. Maharaj Yudhishthira also requisition the heaps of gold for performing sacrifices and for pleasing the Lord, Supreme Lord, Hari, the personality of Godhead. He had no desire to collect them for the state treasury. One should take lesson from the act of Maharaj Yudhishthira. He was afraid of sin committed on the battlefield. Therefore, he wanted to satisfy the supreme authority. This indicates that unintentional sins are also committed in our daily occupational discharge duties. And to counteract even such unintentional crimes, one must perform sacrifice as they are recommended in the revealed scripture. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Jagyartha karmano annatra lokayam karma bandana, that one must perform sacrifice recommended in the scriptures in order to get rid of commitment of all unauthorized work or even unintentional crimes which we are apt to commit. By doing so, one shall be freed from all kinds of sin. Those who do not do so but work for self-interest or sense gratification above to undergo all tribulation accord from committed sins. Therefore, the main purpose of performing sacrifices is to satisfy the Supreme Personality Hari. The process of performing sacrifice may be different in terms of different times, places and persons, but the aim of such sacrifice is one and the same at all times, in all circumstances. Satisfaction of the Supreme Lord Hari, this is the way of pious life. That is the way of peace and prosperity in the world at large. Maharaj Yudhishthira did all this as the ideal pious king of the Lord. Okay. Any questions, comments, reflection? Yes, Mother.
So for us, is the chanting of the holy name like sufficient to cover all our unintentional sins and wrongs? Because there's also the offense of, you know, chanting the holy name in order to counteract like sinful activities.
To be honestly, our focus is not to get rid of sinful reaction. Our focus is to awaken that pure love for the Lord which is all along in the heart. Because that will uproot everything unnecessary or not needed. But if we keep on doing just, you know, for sin, for anartha, for offense, I mean, we should be careful, definitely. We should be always careful and cautious. I'm not saying that we should be callous, because bhakti means our internal mentality with our external endeavor together. not just. So if the internal intention is to revive dormant love, then the sin automatically will disappear. Sin means that which keeps us away from Krishna, boils down to sin. That's what I find. Sin is not just a suffering of this. Everybody is suffering. But problem is a lot of people taking the suffering as a kind of okay. That's not a good idea. But then they don't have any information, so we need to preach. So your answer is that no. Sin, to get rid of sin, we need to chant. That's not a Acharya's recommend or Prabhupada. But it automatically goes away. But as you know, until somebody uproots, tasmat sankirtanam vishnu jagat mangalam hasam. Mahatam api kaurava vidhi nishkritam. Nishkritam here is like uproot, not lawn mowing, cutting the grass, but uprooting the grass. So that's for chanting is required for that. Then the root of the sin, origin, nature will also be with you.
What if we do commit, you know, intentional or unintentional apparads?
Intent or unintentional apparad?
Yeah, what do we do for that?
Unintentional, I don't think we need to be focused. It is not good, we should be careful. But to me, there are many definitions of apparad. One of the definitions caught me many years back. He said, uttering the name which is consciously made in the heart with enmity. So it is, I am aware that I am preparing to go down from my spiritual path. I'm preparing, so who you can blame? If I am trying harming myself, if I cut on my own finger, I guess I have to go through this suffering in order to understand that I should not cut my own finger. Committing offense is nothing but cutting our own bhakti. It makes sense? But unintentional, Krishna forgives. If I don't have a, I mean, probably I commit offense minuscule, millions a day. But I don't have intention, at least I'm trying not to commit offense. But possible. Well, I drive, I kill ants, I'm sure I do, probably. I don't look at it, I don't judge, I don't have any intention, but without vehicle, I cannot go anywhere. So, intentionally, as long as we don't do intentionally, then Krishna will forgive us. Any other? Just in case, other day, Sri Vikram Prabhu gave a very nice class. But I want to mention something, that while I was reading Namavas, I'm doing little classes online every day, not every day, 3 days a week, on Harinam Chintamani. But I'll just give you a little idea of just the Namavas. There's a 10 result, I wrote it down. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I know we won where we can be happily performed. But if we are not focused on our goal, we may get cheated. We may. I'm not saying you will, but you may get cheated. Yes, madam? Okay.
The Lord makes determination strong whether one chooses direct bhakti yoga path or indirect demigod path. Strong determination in wrong direction lengthens our stay in material world. How to fix? This is by Dashanu Das.
Long determination
Strong determination in wrong direction lengthens our stay in material world. How to fix?
The best thing, if you want quick fix, I mean forever, grab the hold of the lotus feet of a great personality who actually has an unalloyed devotion to Krishna because they are already fixed, determined in their path. By the mercy of them that personality, all this unnecessary, even determination for demigod worship is just unnecessary. It comes under the category of, in Harinam Chintamani gives actually one category of anarthas. It's not something too much we have to worry. But if you want to get out, definitely you need to, easiest way, that grab the hold of lotus feet of great devotee, one who is advanced like that. Otherwise it will take long time. Just by chanting it is not going to work, because chanting, the pure holy name means devoid of four things, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes. Devoid of namavas, devoid of namaparad, devoid of anarthas, and Bhavadam. So that's why it takes longer time for us to awaken pure love. Because pure name is not an alphabet. There's a big difference between Namavas and Namapara. So we have to be fully aware. That's my easiest way, that grab the hold of pure devotee. Lotus. That's it. There's a one from the Swaha. Let's see. Last class there was no time for questions. So if you please answer, we are all individual. So how does Lord Brahma and Prahlad Maharaj together incarnated as Srila Haridas Thakur? And many such examples in Gaur Ganadev Deepika. Question from your last class. First I'm going to give this 10 result of Namavas. So if you experience those are not coming from the pure name. These are coming from Namavas. I'm not trying to scare you, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Haridas Thakur is trying to scare you. First is, if you feel when you are chanting, that all sinful effects are destroyed. Second, one who attains liberation from the material world. Third, effects of Kali Yuga are overcome. Fourth, by chanting at this age, all anxiety will go. Means you look like a peaceful person because you are chanting. Five, peace can be obtained, means you will be peaceful, as I mentioned. Six, evil influence of ghost, demon, spirit are gone. Seven, unfavorable planets are also nullified. Eight, even the residents of hellish planet can achieve relief from their suffering by this Namavas. Nine, the holy name is invested with all Krishna's transcendental energy. Even by chanting Namavas, one can attain dharma, artha, kama, moksha. You can be rich, you can get liberation, you can become a very handsome or beautiful girl, whatever, or handsome boy. And also you will get happiness in this world. You can even get out of Maya, but up to the border of Vaikuntha. These are the 11 results you can get. 11 results. But now the scary part, you will not get love of Godhead by that chanting, that form. So those who are looking for ultimate goal, they have to chant sincerely pure name to awaken the love for Krishna. Otherwise, we'll get cheated by all these things. Because I thought before, you know, like, okay, I'm chanting. Then no problem, no suffering. Even I fell off the roof or something happened, I'm not suffering. These are not the result of holy name. These are the namabhas, semblance of holy name. Reflection of holy name is not pure holy name. Pure holy name means you want to serve the Lord. Pure holy name means your feeling for the Lord awakened. So this is, I'll end with this. And Prahlad Maharaj, well, almost. Sure, I will give you a call. And we'll discuss about Prahlad Maharaj and Brahmajis. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāya.